Now, before we hear from our next guest, have a listen to this. That's the sound of people at a Rohingya refugee camp in Bangladesh, somewhat panicked and shocked to see a herd of elephants walking through their settlement in Cox's Bazar. This particular sound is from an area that's now described as the largest refugee camp in the world. It hosts nearly a million Rohingyas, a persecuted group that has fled neighbouring Myanmar in vast numbers since August last year. And since that time, the UN says at least 10 people have died after being trampled by elephants. Let's speak to Raqibul Amin. He's the country representative of the ICUN in Bangladesh. Now, that's a global body that promotes the conservation of nature. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Good morning.
Well, let's explain first to our audience, who may not be familiar with the geography of this area, why are there elephants coming into a refugee camp there?
I think there should be the question should be posed the other way around. Why there's a refugee camp in the elephant habitat? So it is an elephant habitat, but unfortunately, when a large number of people, persecuted people came from Myanmar, and the government there was no option but to settle them there. Just to put you in perspective, in I think 500,000. Refugee has entered the whole Europe in 2 years. In Bangladesh, in that particular area, about 600 to 700,000 people moved in just 2 weeks' time. So you understand the scale of operation. And the people had to be sheltered, given shelter, food, and in that particular area, which is known habitat. That's one part. And second is that camp now is completely blocking the elephant corridor. A corridor is a connection between two habitats. So in the Cox Bazar South Forest Division, where the elephants are, they move through a narrow channel or corridor about 2 kilometers wide, enters in Myanmar, walks up, and re-enter in Bangladesh through night catchery. So this they have been doing for generations after generations. And that corridor is now blocked by the camp. So elephants, what they are trying is to do is to just across the camp and move to the corridor and through that corridor and take the ancestral routes. So this is where the conflict is. This is such an unfortunate event that's going on. Elephant is trying to break into the camp, try to walk through the camp. But since people are not used to with this, and there's so much of concentration of temporary shelters, so many people. So people get panicked and they attack elephant, and then in turn, elephant also try to save itself, attack people. So far, we have 13 deaths by elephant trampling. Such an unfortunate scenario is going on there.
Yeah, and difficult for everyone to deal with. How are you trying to manage the situation?
We have been working on this elephant-human conflict for a pretty long time. In north of Bangladesh, we also have a migratory herd of elephant coming down from India, and we had a severe problem in northern part of Bangladesh. So what we tested several techniques or methods or tools to ward off the elephant and reduce the human-elephant conflict. One of the most effective tool is the emergency response team. It's basically a group of people, you train them, and they are trained how to handle an elephant or a group of elephant and kind of peacefully ward off that elephant towards the forest and protect the crops and damage and livelihood. So we are repeating the same lesson, same tools in Rohingya camps. So we are training the Rohingya refugee, Rohingya community people, 10 per group. We have formed 25 emergency response team along the western border. By the way, the elephant are now trapped on the western side of the camp. So we have done a survey. We have found about 40 elephant, ranges between 35 to 45 on average, there's a 40 elephant in the western side of the camp. And we hope that with this emergency response team, when the elephant comes, they will be able to, you know, react and peacefully mitigate the situation. And we have seen in at least in three incidences where the ERT team has been effectively, you know, ward off the elephant and help it to go to the forest area and definitely save that property and life.
I'm going to bring in Alan Posner, who's one of my guests in our Berlin studio this morning. Alan, have you got a question for Rakib?
Yes, I do. I saw the videos of these some of these elephants in the camp and the reaction. And I hadn't realized that 13 people had actually been killed, but I was surprised that actually no elephant had been killed yet, because, I mean, you see thousands of people.
Yes.
And is this because they know they shouldn't do this, or why don't they kill the elephants? I'm surprised at their restraint, actually.
I would say it's a by chance. Mm-hmm. I mean, if things going on like this, I mean, you will see, hopefully not, but you will see reports of elephant killing. I mean, in other parts of Bangladesh, what happened, I mean, if I give you statistics, from 92 to 2016, 90 elephant has been killed, and about 231 person has died since 2003. So this human elephant conflict is quite ripe in other parts of Bangladesh, especially in the northern part of Bangladesh. So people get, elephant gets killed when it's put damage the households, or no, trample on the cropland, or people are get killed. Definitely people get agitated and they react and they try to kill. But in Rohingya camp, fortunately, no elephant has died, but we have seen where elephant got injured. You know, elephant been thrown sticks, stones, and, you know, whatever people can. It's a normal reaction. The elephant usually come early in the morning or late night. That's where they usually roam, it's just didn't happen. So we're very hopeful that it will not happen. I mean, there will be no death of elephant or no death of people.
Thank you, Rakib. Rakib Ul Amin, who is the country representative of IUCN in Bangladesh, the global body to promote the conservation of nature.